appreciate it. Give everybody your phone number so they know how to get in touch.
Please call Mommy Hunter at 908-284-0500 for more information about any of our programs. Or to join Mommy Hunter.
Happy Mother's Day again to you. We'll talk to you next week.
Happy Mother's Day to everybody listening.
All right. Take care. Bye-bye.
Talk to you soon. Bye.
That's Diane Lane, DNL Travel. Give her a call for all those really cool adventures. We're going to take a break, and we'll be back with more of Good Morning Hunter in just a moment.
Viable path to victory.
But Republican candidate Ted Cruz, having lost Indiana's GOP primary to Donald Trump in a big way, now suspending his Republican presidential campaign.
Tonight, I'm sorry to say, it appears that path has been foreclosed.
Republican National Committee Chairman Reince Priebus calling Trump the presumptive nominee. For USA Radio News, I'm Chris Barnes.
President Obama heads to Flint, Michigan today to get a close-up perspective on the toxic water crisis there. The president going to get a briefing on efforts to deal with the crisis. We'll also hear directly from some residents in a roundtable discussion. This is USA Radio News.
Have you been to conservativetribune.com? Now, this is one of the most visited news sites in the entire world, and the reason is simple. Conservativetribune.com delivers edgy and bold commentary of the news. They're unapologetically pro-America, unabashedly conservative. At conservativetribune.com, they don't make apologies for who they are or what they say. And if you're looking for more than just boring stories and simple thought, you go to conservativetribune.com. That's conservativetribune.com.
I'm Sean Hare, the site director at conservativetribune.com. Conservative Tribune is one of the most visited news sites in the world, and the reason is simple. Conservativetribune.com delivers edgy and bold commentary of the news every day. We are unapologetically pro-America, unabashedly conservative. At conservativetribune.com, we don't make apologies for who we are or what we say. If you're looking for more than boring stories and simple thought, visit conservativetribune.com. That's conservativetribune.com.
The United States and its allies looking for ways to strengthen the fight against ISIS. Defense Secretary Ash Carter and foreign ministers from 11 other countries meet in Germany, working to find ways to more effectively bring the fight to the terrorist group that controls parts of Syria and Iraq. The talks come a day after a U.S. Navy SEAL was killed in an ISIS attack in northern Iraq. USA Radio's Jason Wirt has the details.
An American Special Forces member has died after an attack by the Islamic terrorist group ISIS in Iraq. Lisa Daftari of the Foreign Desk told USA Radio News how the soldier died.
Their vehicle was hit with a rocket-propelled grenade. He was injured, airlifted out by helicopter, and unfortunately he died afterwards.
Despite Defense Secretary Ashton Carter calling it a combat death, White House spokesman Josh Earnest would only say the death happened during support operations. I'm Jason Wirt.
And teen retailer Aeropostale is filing for bankruptcy.
Good afternoon. I'm Jeannie Murphy. It's Talented People. Hope you're having a great week. It's already 3:04 on Wednesday, May 4th. I'm going to give you the forecast if you happen to be listening in the area, but I wanted to let you know our guest today in studio, such an honor to have her here. She's the mayor of Clinton, New Jersey. Her name is Mayor Janice Kovach, and she is a public speaker, again, the mayor. She's an advocate, wife, and mother. She has a book that she's working on right now. We'll learn a little bit about. And again, that, you know, one of the most beautiful, I think, cities or areas in Hunterdon County, New Jersey is Clinton. So we're going to learn all about what she's been up to there as mayor. If you happen to be listening in this afternoon, showers are likely cloudy with a high about 51 degrees. Tonight, showers likely before 8 p.m., then showers likely with patchy drizzle between 8 and 10. And then we're going to have a low about 46 tonight. Thursday, patchy drizzle continues with a chance of showers before 9 in the morning, then a chance of showers after 9 a.m. Basically, we're going to have 50% chance of precipitation, high about 56. Thursday night, a low about 48 with a chance of showers. Friday, showers mainly after 9 a.m. again, cloudy all day with a high of 59, and then showers likely on Friday night, mainly before 9 p.m., mostly cloudy with a low about 49. chance of showers after 9 a.m., partly sunny all day with a high of 67 on Saturday, and then chance of showers, mostly cloudy with a low of 51 Saturday night. Sunday, chance of showers again before 3 p.m., partly sunny with a high near 68. So for May, we're doing the April showers, bring May flowers, I think. I mean, we're getting a lot of rain in there. So stay with us on that. I'm sure it'll start to get nicer and nicer every day. Again, our guest in studio is Mayor Janice Kobich from New Jersey, and we'll be right back after this quick break to learn what's going on in her world. Stay with us.
Lose 20 to 40 pounds in 40 days, guaranteed. Let me repeat, lose 20 to 40 pounds in 40 days, guaranteed. This is not a crazy diet or exercise program. No drugs, hormones, or shots. You can lose 20 to 45 pounds in 40 days with Nutrimost Resonant Frequency Technology to measure 2,800 of your body's key biomarkers. Using NRF, they can find and correct the cause of your weight problem by measuring factors affecting weight gain, including metabolism, fat burning, fat storage, appetite, detoxification, and hormonal regulation. It's safe, fast, easy, and effective, and you won't walk around hungry or have cravings. It's even doctor supervised. Schedule a body composition analysis and consultation. You can be transformed in 40 days guaranteed. This is a limited time offer, so they can't wait to see you look great.
So call 888-718-7077. That's 888-718-7077. Or visit njthin.com. That's njthin.com.
All right, anyway, welcome back. I'm having a conversation in studio here with the mayor of Clinton, New Jersey. Her name is Mayor Janice Kobich, and she is, again, a public speaker, advocate, wife, and mother. She's wonderful. And you can visit her website at Janice, and it's kovach.com. And you can, like, kind of follow along with us. And let's just ask you, bring us up to date on how are you doing and what's new, because you've been on the show a couple times before.
I have, yes.
And we love having you here.
And I love being here.
Oh, good. Thanks.
There's tons of stuff going on. It seems every day brings something new and exciting. Obviously, the town of Clinton, we've got loads of stuff going on. And we're going into that season where there's activities every weekend. So, you know, we're always looking for visitors to come out and check us out.
And it's so beautiful.
It is. We love it.
Yeah.
And then you're just working on, you know, we talked about this project a while ago. This is just something that I need to kind of get it out. It's, you know, it's been a work in process for a while now. But it's just kind of talking about what my experiences have been and, you know, where do you find the support and where you expect to find the support and where you don't find the support. And I think the timing right now is just so ideal based on where we are in this political spectrum and who we're talking about and what we're saying about them. It's just, you know, how women, because obviously that's what I advocate for is, you know, is for women. But, you know, how women are being talked about in this political season and how it's okay to say things because, you know, we're trying to not be politically correct because we want to change things. Well, I don't know about anyone else, but I really don't enjoy being someone saying something about me, not me personally, but, you know, me as a woman, and think that's okay because, you know, we're going to change things. We're going to change the paradigm. You can change the paradigm without being obnoxious or rude.
Absolutely. You know, talk about that for a second, because I know you've definitely had your share of being in groups of people, both
yes.
genders, and share a little bit about that. Because as a mayor, you know, you have so many different, you know, type ropes to kind of walk.
And, yes.
You know, you can see it from your seat. So tell us about that, how it feels.
Well, you know, it's obviously, I do things differently. I don't kind of fit a mold, and I've never wanted to fit a mold. So I know that, you know, people see me sometimes, and they'll look at me a little like, your hair's blue, your hair's purple, whatever it may be. And you know, and I do it for a reason, because it's something I'm passionate about. So, but right away, I get judged because I have blue in my hair, or I have purple in my hair, or my hair is all purple, whatever it may be. And that is, I don't know that men get judged the same way. You know, if a man comes out, I mean, obviously if he comes out maybe with a mohawk, it might be judged. But, you know, I dress professionally. I still do the same job just because my hair is a little bit different. So people seem to be uncomfortable, mostly men, but some women too. you know, they have this image of what, you know, a mayor is supposed to be. And obviously I don't fit that image, and I'm okay with that. And I think everyone should be okay with that. We're not supposed to fit this specific mold.
Mm-hmm.
You know, if we have everyone looking, acting, saying the same thing, then, you know, we're not going to grow or to really evolve. You know, it's not about being rude or obnoxious, but, you know, talking about how you feel about something and truly believing and advocating for an issue that is so important to you is really what it's about. And it's always fun to be in a room where, you know, maybe some individuals don't know me. And one of my favorite jokes is, you know, I'll let them dig the hole and I'll just bury them.
It's a lot easier that way.
You know, it just, yeah, I look at it and I don't look at me as a person, you know, as a female, or, you know, look at the work that I've done, look what I've accomplished, you know, look at my record. That's what should stand for itself, not what color my hair is this week, or, you know, if you think that I'm dressed, you know, I shouldn't be wearing jeans, I should be wearing a suit, or I should be wearing something that fits your idea of what a mayor is. And I think that's the message that we really have to talk about, is there is no set mold. We are who we are. We're individuals, and we need to be who we are in order to really make a difference.
Well, don't you feel like, since you are the mayor and you are elected into this term, that because you aren't afraid to be in the mold, that there must be at least some movement to support what you're saying? Because like you say, there, you could see it. You know, when you're not feeling that acceptance of
right.
being a renegade, but at the same time, you're being, you know, honored and voted in.
Right.
And I think it's because a lot of people do want change. They don't want to hear the same old crap.
Yeah, I think that's part of it. It's, you know, it's interesting. Society as a whole and how we view women. Mm-hmm. Someone had put up a picture on Facebook, and I had to share it again. It was, who was it? Stephen Colbert, Jon Stewart, and one other guy posing, you know, how you would pose a woman posing for a picture. You know, they're all shirtless in black pants, and they've got all of these, well, I'm assuming they're supposed to be sexy poses. They really, it was kind of scary to look at, but that's how you would tell a woman to pose. Oh, show me. And so I put it up, and it was titled Posers. And then someone else had said, well, you know, women have the ability to say no. I said, true. We absolutely have that ability to say, no, we're not going to accept that. But society still deems that this is, and if you want to get to where you want to go, if you want to be what you think you want to be, then you need to follow society's norms. And we haven't broken that yet.
Mm-hmm.
You know, and I think when I ran for Congress, that was, for me, was breaking that norm. I wasn't going to fit into a specific mold and have, you know, someone say, well, if you want to win, this is what you need to do. But that's not who I am, you know. And if I can't be who I am, if I have to be someone else, then it's not something that I think I can do. I was already told I can't act to save my life. I had a theater teacher tell me that, so.
I can only say that from my business partner, Colleen, my perspective, that's probably the best thing ever, because we go crazy when we're watching actors anymore. And I have to say, Colleen is in studio right now. She's actually doing waiting for a phone call and so on. But one of the things that she says, and I mean, talking about Colleen is a self-taught, you know, almost be the professor of almost any subject thing.
Right.
But one thing is an artist, observationist, public relations specialist, and so on. She says people are too smart anymore. They're just too smart, especially the younger ones.
Right.
They've been brought up smart, and they can see past all this stuff. So just question to you, do you see anything age-wise that makes sense to you? That do you see any more receptiveness for the younger or anything about that?
The younger definitely think it's cool. You know, when I speak to students, they'll see me with, you know, the first thing they notice, obviously, is the hair. And they think it's cool.
Yeah, immediately it's a showstopper in a way.
Right.
Like, you're like, okay, I'm on your page.
They don't realize that, you know, it's not considered normal.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, there you go. And right there in itself is...
So they're at least willing to listen. They don't necessarily tune me out right away.
Mm-hmm.
some an older generation definitely would. Women, you know, it's half and half. It's hard to say because there are some women who I think look at it and say, oh, think to themselves, I wish I could do it. I wish I was gutsy enough to do it. But what they'll show you is, oh, well, you know, you really shouldn't be doing that because that's just not appropriate.
Yeah, go back in your corner.
And men are definitely somewhat uncomfortable with it. There are a couple of, you know, individuals that have said something to me that, you know, it's really not appropriate to be having different hair color, you know, as the mayor.
I can't imagine if someone says something like that to me. I would be like, just, you know, what's wrong with you? But I know you're right because that's right. What it is.
It's, you know, and it's funny because my council, who, and I love my town council, we have a lot of fun with it, you know, and they know when I go for my hair appointment, they're like, okay, what color is it going to be next? They know that it's who I am. It doesn't detract at all from the work that I do.
Absolutely. And it shouldn't.
Right.
And I have to say, you know, we've known you for probably 4 or 5 years now, right?
Right, yeah.
And I'm basically, you know, from watching you and seeing you kind of become more confident in your colors and just...
Right.
And it's inspiring. It's like, yay!
And it's hair. It's fun.
And
but
also,
it's...
I don't know if you've been watching all the trends now with hair. There's just... It's becoming the norm.
Is.
People are having all different color hairs. You know, they're experimenting, especially the younger generation.
Right,
like, right.
You know, and it's not abnormal to go in and see somebody with bright purple hair and think, oh my gosh, look at her hair. I'm like, oh wow, her hair is cool.
Right. But, you know, unfortunately, employers still look at it as, oh wow. Well,
yeah.
There
must be something wrong with
something
you.
Something wrong.
You're calling yourself out.
Yes. You're not fitting that mold of who we think we should be hiring.
Right.
And I have a problem with that because if we can't identify, and it's not, I'm not talking about, you know, absolute craziness, because obviously if you have customer interaction, you know, you want to be able to present professionally, but I don't think the color of my hair determines, you know, whether or not, and I think if I can speak clearly, articulately, that really is more important, and whether or not I can interact in a, you know, in a manner that is professional. Okay, so my hair has blue in it this month.
Well, and it's for a really great reason.
It is for a really great reason.
Yeah. Tell us the significance before we go to our break.
So April is Sexual Assault Awareness Month, and the color is teal. So I did teal in my hair for, you know, in recognition of that month.
Wow. And I remember I'm thinking back about when you were in Princeton Television Studio telling some stories about, like, it was just ridiculous.
Unbelievable. You know, what people experience.
Yeah. Boy, you got so many stories. Let's go real quick to our break. It's Talented People. It's already 3:18 in the afternoon on May 4th, if you can believe it.
May the 4th be with you.
That's cute. Colleen Kelly, business partner here at Mariah Media in studio for Talented People with Mayor Janice Kovich. We'll be right back. Just two short commercial breaks. And we'll be back to our conversation.
Rab Coins of Flemington, New Jersey has been in business for over 37 years. We are highly competitive buyers of gold, silver, and platinum coins, jewelry, and scrap metals, and have recently named the exclusive gold buyer for Diamond Nation and HealthQuest. We also provide professional appraisal, sales, and liquidation services for individuals, law firms, estate trustees, and bank trust departments in New Jersey and Philadelphia. Products and services include gold and silver, American and foreign coins, certified rare date and modern coins, numismatic supplies and books, gold, silver, and platinum bullion, paper currency, United States proof, and mint sets, including current issues. From junior collector to the experienced investor, Rab Coins has been for numismatists since 1974. Founder and owner, Randy Block, an expert numismatist, has been an active member of the coin industry for over 45 years. Visit us at 56 Main Street in historic downtown Flemington or call toll-free 1-800-819-9875.
Hey, this is Big C of Good Morning Hunterdon on HuntingChamberRadio.com. Like what you hear on Hunting Chamber Radio? Now you can take it with you. Download our Hunting Chamber Radio app from iTunes and Google Play Store now. Get schedules, station information, listen live, or to the latest podcasts. Everything in the palm of your hand or in your car during your commute. Get the HuntingChamberRadio.com app today.
All All right, welcome back to the show. It's Talented People. I'm Jeannie Murphy, Colleen Kelly, business partner here at Mariah Media is in the studio, which I always love. And our guest today is Mayor Janice Kovach from Clinton, New Jersey. And she's talking about a lot of different things on her mind. She was telling us about her hair color and how it kind of puts people off sometimes. And we think you can really read people when you are looking at them. So talk.
Yes.
Yeah, no, I think that's interesting.
It is. I think it's the facial expression first, because most people can't hide that first reaction. Mm-hmm. You know, the first reaction is the widening of the eyes, you know, do you ask the question why is your hair blue? And people have asked me, and I explain why, that, you know, what I'm trying to do and raise awareness. And some people will engage in a conversation, which is important, because it's an issue that too many times we don't want to talk about. Mm-hmm. You know, sexual assault is an epidemic. It continues to happen, and it's both to men and women, boys and girls. So we need to do what we can to raise awareness so that people understand the implications and stop blaming the victim, because that still tends to be the big thing. And then there are as soon as I say it, so others have kind of looked and said, oh, okay, and walked away, because they don't want to have that conversation. It's an uncomfortable conversation. You talk about domestic violence, sexual assault, any of that stuff is uncomfortable. And, you know, unfortunately it exists. So we can bury our heads in the sand and pretend it doesn't, or we can do what we can to raise awareness and hopefully start to break the cycle.
Do you find that when you are kind of putting out your voice on certain like initiatives and advocating for what you believe, when you find someone supportive, do you get anything more out of them? Like, it's so hard to be an activist that's active.
Yes. And yes, there are some people that say, you know, how can I do something about it?
Yeah.
You know, what's interesting is, I met a young woman at an event that I was speaking at, and she was a victim of domestic violence. And we were talking, and she didn't think of herself as a victim of sexual assault because she was raped by her husband.
Oh, my gosh. Wow.
I said, just because you're married to him doesn't mean that if you don't consent, it's then considered rape. Marital rape is rape. I don't care. You know, if you say no, the man has to respect that you say no.
Mm-hmm.
And she, you know, it upset her a little bit because it kind of made her think and relive it. She's like, maybe I should have done something else. Maybe I said, whether or not you could or you couldn't, you know. And now what you need to do is, you know, understand and help others understand. You know, she spends a lot of time working with one of the domestic violence programs. I said, you need to talk about it. Other women need to understand that just because you're married to the individual, you still need to consent.
Mm-hmm.
If you say no, your partner should be respecting no.
That, you know, wow, that is a tremendous whole entire world of, you know,
oy.
Because, again, it's the awareness and everything else. And there's so many different causes. So what other kind of colors do your hair do you share?
So I've done purple in October for domestic violence awareness.
Mm-hmm.
And I did an entire head of purple in November for honor violence. We were hosting I'm part of that organization called Honor Diaries, and we were hosting an uncensored women's film festival at George Washington University last year.
Can you touch upon what that is? Because honor violence, I don't think everybody knows.
So honor violence is, it's cultural. For a lot of individuals, it's a forced marriage. It is when there is a perception that the daughter or the wife has somehow dishonored their family. An example would be the young woman that was run over by her father in Arizona.
So awful.
The two girls who were murdered by their father in Texas.
Mm-hmm.
It's amazing and awful that these things exist in the world,
right,
that we live in and can happen and do happen.
And happen in our country,
yeah,
in our state. I mean, there are forced marriages and child marriages taking place in New Jersey where the victims are as young as 10. And a judge can order, with the family consent, a judge can say, yes, you can marry this child.
Really?
Yeah.
And are they saying yes, the judges?
The judges are saying yes. So
something wrong with that.
Nancy Munoz, Assemblywoman Munoz, has actually introduced legislation to ban child marriage.
Good.
It is. It's a step. You know, you wouldn't like think that you would have to ban it, but unfortunately, while it's implied that it's not allowed, if a judge can say, if a family petitions a court and says, we want our 10-year-old daughter to marry a 40-year-old man, a judge can say yes. And
I can't believe it.
Apparently, it has happened. There are cases of it. So the Assemblywoman has introduced the legislation, and I'm grateful that she did.
Me
you know,
too.
Hopefully we can continue to build on that and get away from forced marriage as well.
Well, that is surprising to me that that even exists, because mm-hmm. I had no idea that a judge could do that.
I didn't realize a judge could do it either, because all the research I had done, it was implied that it's not legal. While it's not actually written in legislation anywhere in the United States, it's implied that it's not legal. But yet, there's an organization out of New York, I believe. I forget the name of the organization, but they deal with child marriage. And they were pushing because they were trying to raise awareness. It was an article in the New York Times probably 4 or 5 months ago now, talking about it.
Yeah, because children, I mean, 10, you're a yeah. child.
Right.
It's crazy. What makes me even more surprised is that there are so many really, like you said, like implied laws,
right.
but they're not actually, you know, even
there's
updated.
Nothing there to prevent it, no. Not at all.
Even like I laugh a bit about where when I moved into my house about 12 years ago, as an example.
Right.
You know, I went down to the township offices to find out like what I was zoned for, whatever. Right. And the answer was, well, you can have a chuck wagon. Bring your family in for 2 month minimum stays, because that's how long it took to come.
Right.
And you can have tea. Up until, like, you know, after 5 o'clock, but you can only have liquor, you know, before 5 o'clock. Or like, I was like, what?
Right.
This is New Jersey. Are you serious?
It was like that old
yeah.
law that was.
It still is. It's like, you know, and the amount of time that people could come. And again, I'm kind of.
Let's right. just get a chuck wagon yeah. then.
Good idea. I knew there was a loophole. I went right over my head. No, not to make a joke, but that you can just see that some yeah. things just got left behind. And if you don't ask, you don't know. And
there's
again,
a lot of
lied.
Stuff that's left behind.
That's so funny, girl. I love it. Mm.
Yep. So, our next event.
Yeah, really.
Chuck wagon.
For Memorial Day.
2 weeks. Yeah, there you go. That's a good idea. It's kind of close. So, yeah, not to make light of that. It's just I honestly have to say that's about the only place I can even, you know, relate to that kind of thing you're talking about is
right.
by actually seeing how some of these things. And you as mayor of Clinton must discover things like this a lot, right?
It's amazing. You know, you look at – we try to keep our ordinances updated and – you know, all of a sudden something will pop up that would be, this is really on the books.
Yeah.
Seriously?
Yeah.
And even at state level, you just think about what's going on at the state level, 300 plus years of the state writing laws that probably don't even have any relevance today.
Mm-hmm.
But no one's done anything to go through and say, do we really need this?
Right. And there's so limited... Like when there is advocate for the right,
right
things, advocacy, then those things get pushed aside again. And then
exactly.
if it's not, and there's so few people like you who really will say, I'm going to go out there and change. And I want everybody to know I'm refreshing. I'm, you know, I'm going for it. I don't really
right.
care what you think of me. And I just think, you know, I do think that every year it's probably going to get easier and easier, you know, for,
right.
and those all for sure behind you
right.
as a leader.
I hope so. Although I have to tell you, this entire, you know, political season has kind of scared me.
Let's hear. Go ahead. Share with us all.
Well, I mean, there's that TV show called The Circus. It's on Showtime, and it's one of those things. And it truly is a circus when you're watching. I remember watching one of the debates with my husband and my son, and I can't remember which one it was because there were so many of them. And there's a Twitter feed on the side of the screen. And one of the the really conservative talk show guys from Fox, he's not there anymore, tweeted something, and I said, now I know that something is wrong when I'm agreeing with him. It was a comment, something about, you know, is this the best that America, is this what we're showing our children, that America has the best to offer? Listening to the debate happening on stage. I mean, there was no real discussion. And quite frankly, it was embarrassing because it was seen globally. But it brought ratings because it was a reality TV show.
Yeah.
I mean, the entire debate process early on was a reality TV show.
Mm-hmm.
And how is that good when you think about these are the individuals who will be potentially running the country for the next 4 years?
At least.
Mm-hmm. It just blows my mind. I sit and I look at it, and I mean, I caught myself yelling at the TV last night, and I swore I would never yell at the TV. I became my father-in-law.
Oh, that's so funny. Now, I know you've got tons of people agreeing and nodding right now, as Colleen and I are. It's been totally ridiculous.
It has.
It is,
like you say, embarrassing.
It's embarrassing
for
and it's
our country
all
to
ages, and it's disturbing because those who are like your father-in-law, as you say,
right,
who are home perhaps and their whole life is watching television. I know my
right.
parents are. They become like political freaks. You know what I mean?
Right.
And they're disturbed by it. They're like completely consumed by it.
Right.
And it's like they haven't.
But it's all sound bites.
And then it goes, it's all that. And then it goes all the way down to the, you know, like you said, to being embarrassing internationally.
Yeah.
And then to be, is this what we're teaching our children?
Right. And that's, I look at my kids and
scary.
How we can say the things, again, the whole political correctness I get. But to the To be able to say things about someone just because you can,
mm-hmm.
and it to be okay.
Mm-hmm.
I mean, comments were made during debates that in any other debate, that candidate would have been, you know, gone. That would have been.
Everybody would have not.
Right.
But
no one
would have
like
zero
bought into it.
Right. And now that's not the case.
But everyone fed into it. Everyone loved that reality TV experience because, I mean, it was probably. More the Republican debates were much more entertaining from an entertainment perspective than the Democratic
sure.
debates.
Mm-hmm, mm-hmm.
You know, people tuned in who had never watched a debate before. And, you know, I love that more people are engaged in the political process, but my biggest fear is that people aren't going to educate themselves and truly understand, you know, it doesn't matter who becomes the president. If Congress doesn't change, nothing gets done.
Mm-hmm.
Because,
so true.
You know, you talk about the current president and executive orders. It's because he's got a Congress that's not working with him.
Mm-hmm.
And if you look at the numbers, you know, all the presidents are about the same in number of executive orders. Whoever gets in is going to face the same situation.
Exactly.
You need to make the change all the way down. It
mm-hmm.
can't just be at the top because, you know, regardless of who you think or who you like, it's not going to matter. Even you can say you work across the aisle all you want.
That's just so true. You're so right on. Absolutely.
But no one wants to hear that. Everyone wants to just, you know, focus on the soundbite that says, you know, make America great again. We're gonna build a wall.
Mm-hmm.
I, you know, maybe I'm wrong. I don't know. I don't see that wall being built. But that's my opinion. You know, I'm entitled to it. But people get angry when I say that.
Mm-hmm.
You know, well, no, he says it. I said, okay, he can say that. I'm going based on my experience and what I've seen and what I know about how the political process works, and it's not going to happen.
Mm-hmm.
You know, Steve Schmidt, he ran McCain's campaign in was it 2008? Sorry, couldn't think of the year. He's speaking at Eagleton 2 years ago, and he made a comment with regard to the undocumented immigrants. He said it would be buses lined from Alaska to Florida to deport 12 million people. He goes, the government can't get out of its own way right now.
Mm-hmm.
There's no way that they could organize the deportation of that many people. He goes, think Elian Gonzalez. Do you remember the little boy from – and the debacle that was.
Mm-hmm.
He goes, think of that 12 million times. And it really does put it in perspective. It's – you know – figure out how to fix what's broken. don't try to change everything, because it's not going to happen. You've got 535 people in Congress that are going to fight you tooth and nail.
Mm-hmm.
So figure out what's the smartest way to go. And, you know, you go from there.
It'd be so interesting to watch, like, a documentary of, like, we know our Scott Crass with his books, Statesmen and Mischief Makers, and he's compiled stories. You check out the book. There's three volumes in there. We love him to death. He's so cool. But for someone to do, like, a documentary, if they were able to, interviewing, and I know this happens sometimes, but not in the specific question that you have, during your term, how did you feel when you realized that all of your promises weren't going to happen? Because
right.
you see it almost every time a new president
right.
comes in.
That's a really
in.
Good question.
You know, it is.
Because even with Obama, love him to death, okay? He came in, he looked so young and charismatic. You know, you look at him, he's like gray hair. Oh, my God!
Right.
And then he had so many goals, too.
Right.
But he must have and must see, and I think we can all see it.
And then
it,
what happens?
They
you,
lose.
Once you, do you just play the game then? Because
right.
Right.
You can't, you know what you can. You, it doesn't matter. Like, that's what I wonder.
It's so charismatic and even like any of the
yeah.
you know, those who were running, they all have these ambitious ideas, like you say, that
right.
are to their own. And then it is, like you say, like we're all out there, no, we just want change or we want America and all
right.
stuff. But when you do see them walk into office, it takes at least a year. Then all of a sudden it's like employee engagement, burnout or whatever
right.
starts
right.
happening. And then they're not able to change anything. And you're right. It has to start at the Congress.
Plus all of the, you know, all the duties that you have on a daily basis.
Right.
Besides trying to make
right.
it.
And they get blamed and it's, for it, changing their mind mm-hmm. when it was really not their choice to change their mind,
right.
but they had to because there was
and
no
it's
change.
Party driven.
No, it's
you
crazy.
Know, it's where
it
we've allowed
thing.
The party platform to drive whatever the conversations need to be. And quite frankly, I have a problem with that.
Mm-hmm.
It's probably why, you know, there are times when I go against the Democrats and there's times I go against the Republicans, because for me, I try to look at it from a common sense perspective, what's the best for the community. And, yeah, Democrats may not like what I'm doing or Republicans may not. But ultimately, it's for the greater good of my town.
That's what it should be.
And mm-hmm. and I have a council that works that way with me. We can, you know, talk national politics and we're probably on, you know, opposite ends of the spectrum. But when it comes right down to it, what we need to get done locally, they may not like everything, but they understand why we need to do it.
Mm-hmm.
And you don't see that happening. You don't see that kind of relationship taking place. I mean, even at the state level, and I hate naming names, so I will not name names here, but there was an opening on the state Supreme Court. And has been for how many years now? And one person continued to block it. Well, you know what? You're pointing your finger at the national level, and what are we doing here? That, to me, I have a problem with.
Mm-hmm.
You know, the state is broken in so many ways, and affordable housing is a perfect example.
Yeah, share with us. You said that this year your time is...
It's the court has decided that the court will decide our housing obligations. So judges who know nothing about housing, because the state legislature didn't want to take it up and couldn't agree on what it was going to be, the governor wouldn't take it up and decide on what it was going to be. So it goes to the courts, and the courts are like, all right, you know, we're going to decide. And here, towns like small towns have to struggle to put together a plan, but without any real guidance, because you've got, you know, one group saying, well, you need to have all of these affordable housing units. And I don't think we're opposed to affordable housing, but we have to be smart about how we grow. And then you've got another side saying that you shouldn't have any housing. So, you know, that number is 0 to 200. You know, and how do you make it all kind of come together with no guidance as far as how you're coming up with what the numbers are? And then you've got to look at the infrastructure that you have available, whether it's water or sewer, roads, and available land. So all these things, you know, and the state's had a long time to try to fix this, at least 7 years. It's not been fixed. You know, people, they're introducing legislation and it goes nowhere. And then they throw up their hands and say, well, it's the Democrats, or no, it's the Republicans. I don't care who it is. You all drove that bus into the brick wall, and now I'm dealing with the fallout.
Right. So tell us about that in your shoes as mayor of Clinton. Like, what exactly is going on?
So we have to create a housing element, so a plan to our master plan, which it was time to be updated anyway. And we've been developing all along. We had one development just came on board. It's apartment rentals, 60 units with 12 affordable housing. Mm-hmm. You know, the developer was great. He did a 20% set aside for us so that we had, you know, the 20% of the affordable units. We had another development that was approved last year. Again, you know, they're doing a 20% set aside. So we're doing what we need to do in order to meet our constitutional obligation, because it's a constitutional obligation to provide affordable housing. Mm-hmm. But then you've got special interest groups that say, well, you should be doing more. And then you've got developers who say, oh, well, you know, they're not doing enough. I can come in and do more. And you know, and a perfect example of that is the Hills in Bedminster. That was, you know, going to be a couple hundred units, and it's well over 2,000 units. There was a builder's remedy in Lebanon Borough. You know, and that's how you wound up with the presidential. So it's – the towns want to do right, mm-hmm. but we have limited resources, and – we understand the constraints within the community. You know, you've got schools to think about. And like I said, water and sewer. If you don't have water and sewer, how are you going to build a home or multiple homes if you can't provide water and sewer to that property? You know, the sewer treatment plant can only take so much in the way of capacity.
Mm-hmm.
Once it hits capacity, unless
you need a new one.
You need a new one, and the likelihood of that being built is, I mean, you're looking $12, $13 million maybe. Yeah.
Right.
So it's, you know, this is the, rather than allowing the towns to kind of be part of, and there was a lot of back and forth between the legislature and the League of Municipalities as far as this whole affordable housing. There are committees, mayors have been doing a lot of advocacy work, and, you know, Mayor Higgins from Clinton Township, he and I have hosted twice now a mayor's roundtable with mayors from Hunterdon County to talk about, you know, what do we need to do, and you know, find out what another town is doing to see if maybe what we're doing, we all kind of worked with the consortium of other towns to bring in a consultant, our own expert, to kind of give us an idea. But again, it's still, you've got from the time the obligation was established back in the early 80s to now, and then you've got this, there's a gap period from the last time the rules were accepted. So, you know, do you have to build from the gap period? So we're talking to planners and like, well, what do you want to do? And I'm like, well, what are we going to be obligated to do? And they're like, well, we're not really sure. I'm like, okay, so I have to basically spend money for a plan that could potentially be thrown out. You know, I don't know. And then how do you fund the plan? So, you know, the town of Clinton had to put aside $60,000. It's probably going to cost us much more than that to create something that may or may not be accepted by the court. So if I'm experiencing this, I know other mayors are experiencing it as well. And it's frustrating.
Oh, well, I know. I know you've come on the show over the years and talked about it. So it's interesting to get an update on that, right, and to see how much it's still such an issue.
You know, the easiest thing to do is for the courts to say any new housing, 20% set aside.
Just make it.
How that's not difficult.
Right.
But how that is not the case.
No. You know, they create these formulas to determine what you're going to build. But if I'm not building any new housing, why do I have to have an obligation?
Mm-hmm.
You know, if someone comes in with a good plan for a piece of property, we're not going to say no if it's appropriate. But, you know, you're going to force me to require building when I can't sustain it.
Yeah. Well, let's go to our break already. It's 3:44 on May 4th, and you're listening to a conversation with our mayor here from Clinton, New Jersey, Mayor Janice Kovach. We're going to go to break, and then we'll be right back, and we'll be at the end of the show. And then we have our special guest calling in, Brandon Minokian. I love him. My son's name's Brandon. He came across our world because he's in the stage performance producing place, and he's got some fun stuff to share on his new project. So stay with us, and he'll be on it from 4 to 5 on Talented People.
At Crown Trophy of Flemington, we have thousands of products for you to choose from. Whether you're looking for trophies, plaques, or corporate awards, Crown Trophy of Flemington is your one-stop shop. We feature acrylic and crystal awards and promotional products for any occasion. We build and engrave all awards right on site, and we're a leading supplier of varsity jackets for local sports teams. We provide quality customer service and great pricing. Crown Trophy of Flemington is conveniently located in the Staples Shopping Center in Flemington. Crown Trophy of Flemington, we're trophies and a whole lot more.
Don't fear technology. Use it, understand it, and embrace it. The mission of Tech Today is to demystify technology. I'm your host, Chris Bianco, principal of Blue Panther Business Partners. Every Tuesday morning from 10 to 11, we will cover new apps, buying advice, technology news, and answer your questions. Good day, and join me on Tech Today on HuntertonChamberRadio.com.
When it matters most, our award-winning team of emergency physicians and nurses provides sophisticated care 24 hours a day. Superior emergency care at a moment's notice. Hunterdon Healthcare, your full circle of care.
Hi, I'm Sharon Skibbe of CompuPay Payroll. The Chamber is a great way to connect to other businesses within Hunterdon County and build strong and lasting business relationships.
Hunterdon Chamber of Commerce, building business, one business at a time.
All right, it's Talented People, 3:46 in the afternoon on May 4th already, and we hope you're enjoying our conversation today. Colleen Kelly, my business partner at Mariah Media, also, must say, the publisher of Hunterdon County Woman. If you go on Facebook and check it out, we're featuring our Mayor Janice Kovach and all of our lovely ladies from Hunterdon County, and it's Colleen's brilliance, again, that brought that to us. So if you want to learn about what's going on in Hunterdon County, just make sure you check that feed out on Facebook. And just, again, our mayor is speaking of Clinton, New Jersey, respected Mayor Janice Kovach, speaking about some of the challenges that you've experienced.
Yeah.
And so you have about another 10 minutes to share another kaleidoscope view of things that you have to attend to.
Let's see. Well, we have the event, the Future Women Leaders event coming up.
That's so exciting.
The end of this month. I was so excited. I got a call from Mr. DeTemple from Hunterdon Central High School, and he said, a couple of his students were putting this together. Would I be interested in being on the panel? And I, you know, any opportunity to talk to students for me, because ultimately they're the ones that are going to be doing this later on in life, and taking care of me, hopefully.
Mm-hmm. What are the dates on that?
May 25th.
Okay.
May 25th, yes. Which is what day of the week is it?
Is that a Thursday? Mm-hmm. I think.
Okay. Isn't it two? It's for the students only, or?
It's for students, but I think they've opened it up beyond just students.
Okay.
Because I've seen it shared to a number of other places, so I think there's going to be a mixed audience. The goal was to get middle school students there. So, you know, because obviously the earlier we start the young women, the better off we will be in getting them engaged in the political process.
Absolutely. So important, too.
That is I'm looking forward to that. That is truly a labor of love, and the fact that the students are putting it together, and they've got Christy Todd Whitman as their keynote, so that's kind of cool.
It's amazing.
I haven't seen Governor Whitman in probably close to a year now, so it'll be nice to see her and hear what she has to say, and you know, what her thoughts are on.
Are you going to be discussing what's going on now, or is it more of a leadership?
It's more of a leadership, but I have to say, she was on. What was she on? CNN with Chris Cuomo a couple months ago, talking about Donald Trump, and I have to say I followed that entire story. It was, and she's right, because what he was creating with the party was creating a joke.
Right.
So she had she was very eloquent in what she had to say. So I shared that story over and over again on Facebook.
Well, I think it's really important for people like you and Christy Todd to go into and talk to the students so they can gain knowledge about what's going on and different perspectives, because all they really do see is what's in the media.
Right. And it's politics has become such a blood sport. You know, I think it was Hillary Clinton who said you had to have skin of a rhinoceros, and you really do, because people will say things, and I look at it this way. I get that there are people out there that don't like me, and I'm okay with that.
Well, with social media, too, it's a different world, because way back when, you may have people had their own thoughts and opinions in their own homes. But now, everybody's just, you know.
And it's anonymous.
Saying it, yes, and it's out there, and they're just.
Because you're saying it online so that, you know, you're not saying it. It's a passive-aggressive approach to, you know, saying what you think. And everyone reads into comments. I saw it a couple of weeks ago. There was something on one of the pages for Hunterdon. You know, one of the women said, well, back off. So, of course, I had to go back and read what the comments were. And I didn't see any of the comments as being offensive. You know, people were offering advice beyond what she had asked for. But it wasn't done in a way that was rude or obnoxious. And it just – it blew up. So I just – I thought that was interesting that, you know – we've allowed, and we've had it on the Town of Clinton page. Someone gets angry about something and you know, goes off. I said, we try to teach our kids to be respectful and not to bully. But that's kind of what happens on the Facebook pages.
There's
now.
There's a
you
lot
see,
of bullying going on.
Yikes.
And that mm-hmm. just, you know, this double standard of it's okay to do it online because it's not to someone's face. How is that okay? Because my kids... You know, my kids are not on Facebook yet because they're still young. My daughter is, but my two boys aren't. I don't want them on because I don't want them to see what people are saying because it's just – it's downright rude. I'm like, just be respectful. You can agree to disagree. Right.
Exactly.
Well, yeah, it's – you like you said, you really do have to have a tough skin to go right. into politics, but we need, like, that's what you're advocating. I mean, we need women in politics.
Right,
so
we do.
Can you give us some positive aspects of why I would, you know, why...
You get to see, you know what it is? You get to see the results of the work you do and the positive change you make in someone's life or in a community's well-being. You know, I walk down Main Street, and I'm not going to obviously take credit for everything on Main Street, but, you know, I walk down Main Street and I see... Like, part of this is really nice because of the work that I do, and that's what makes it worthwhile. You know, I look at the patio over at the Art Museum that when I first came in was not a patio, was an orange fence. I look at, you know, the roads that don't have potholes that are, you know, well-maintained, and it feels good to know that someone, you know, community is benefiting from the work that we're doing. That we're able to impact a life or several lives, right. You know, and I think that's what public service is. It's not about egos. It's not about, you know, continuing to run just to get to a higher office. You know, oh, I'm only going to stay here because I want to get to the highest level. You know, whatever level you're supposed to be at, you should be at. But do it because you have a passion for it, and do it because you want to affect change.
And it's nice to know that you can affect change.
Yes.
And you've been there in that position as mayor for a number of years. How long?
I'm in my fifth year.
And you still have the same passion that you had the first
day. I do. I really do. I mean, there are days when I, you know, I just want to stick my head under the pillow and pretend something doesn't exist. But, you know, when I see the good stuff, it makes all the bad stuff worthwhile.
I bet. I could just imagine, you know, it is true, just to visualize you looking at the potholes and noticing the change and those beautiful cherry blossoms and everything that's
which
going
make
on.
My eyes blow up.
They're so beautiful.
They are beautiful.
They are. I have to enjoy them from inside.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
I can't enjoy them from outside.
Well, you're fortunate enough to be mayor of a really beautiful town and community that's just kind of almost a you know, it's a tourist.
Mm-hmm. Yes.
A place where people want to go and be. And so what advice would you give to like a town like that needs that kind of change? Like how do you get your towns, a lot of the main streets, that's right. what I'm talking about.
Put aside politics, mm-hmm. you know, put aside personal feelings and really, you know, think about what's important to the community. What's going to have a positive impact? And sometimes you have to look at the bottom line. You know, the dollars are what's going to make a difference, you know, in an investment in the community and who's willing to invest in the community.
Right.
You know, and whether
town
or not.
Town of Flemington is going through all of that. With right.
And they are. Town. They're struggling with that. And I get that. I understand not wanting to lose that history. At the same time, when you have a building that may not be structurally sound, you're not going to find someone, you know, unless you find a benefactor who has deep, deep pockets that's willing to, you know, just throw money away. Because that's really what it is. It's throwing money away to do the repairs. You know, preserve it in some other way. Take pieces of it if it's possible. Take the history, because you never lose the history. You know, that was the one thing Allie McGarren always used to say. She goes, it's not the building, it's recording the history to make sure that no one forgets the history. And really, that's so if someone were to go in and do a video tour of the Union Hotel and give people the opportunity to visualize what it was back during the Lindbergh trial, mm-hmm. you know, that's what's important. It's, you know, we get caught up in the physical structure, but not the history itself. And we lose that history. And that's the most important part. That's what we want our kids to understand and to love about a community. I mean, community is created by people, not by buildings.
Mm-hmm. It'd be fun to actually go back and ask anybody out there if they're listening to submit any pictures that they have, because the hotel, Union Hotel, like from when I first remember it, when I was like it was like a high school 82 right. or something, you know, it was a totally different Union Hotel than right. it was when it was the restaurant. Just
exactly.
Like in the last 10 years, it had grand, you know, ceilings, and it was just like the Titanic or something. And right. that was 25 or 50 years after the right. Lindbergh. So you're right about that. It'd be cool to have a, you know, some place that was like a depot where people could throw in their photographs that
right.
they could all be repurposed into something that would be sharing for the sake of the history.
Right.
It's time to end the show already. last words from Mayor Janice Kovach.
Just, you know, I think getting people engaged, getting especially young women engaged. You know, it's not that young men shouldn't be either, but the younger women are steering clear, and I want to see more women getting involved. I want to see more women mayors. You know, it's not about being all women, but Ruth Bader Ginsburg, I think, said it best. When someone asked her how many women was enough and she'd say 9, they look at her shocked, and she's like, why would you be shocked? Because 9 men was okay? It's the same thing. We're just so conditioned to think differently. So mm-hmm. whatever that may be.
Good words of wisdom to end on, and there are points to ponder for women. Thank you so much for being
thank
on
you.
The show. Anything else you want to add, Colleen?
No, I'm just happy to be here.
Yeah, it's really great to have you here again. And we wish you all the best. We can't wait for your book that's coming out in the later part of this summer. Your Seat at the Table
yes.
by Mayor Janice Kovach. Look for it. Stay tuned for our next guest. He's calling in. His name is Brandon Minokian. And Colleen reminded me that he actually came to us from Janine Herman over at the Princeton Public Library. He's worked as a writer, actor, and director on both stage and screen. And he's co-owner of the arts company Love Dunk Life, Drunk Life, excuse me, and I should have known how to say that, right? He developed the Page to Stage series for the Princeton Public Library, and his original plays, Grim Women, Peter Pan is Dead, and The Most Awkward Love Life of Peabody Magoo, have played throughout New York, Philadelphia, and New Jersey. His current project, Happy Yummy Chicken, is a film he has both written and stars in. So stay with us. We'll be right back, and that'll be the second hour of Talented People. And again, thank you to Mayor Janice Kovach for being here today.
The news is sponsored by the Hunterdon Medical Center. Hunterdon Medical Center was started by families for families. Inside our circle of care, we offer coordinated care for your entire family, led by our outstanding family medicine physicians and specialists. Hunterdon Healthcare, your full circle of care. If you need a physician, call Hunterdon Medical Center's Physician Referral Service at 1-800-511-4-HMC or visit us on the web at www.hunterdonhealthcare.org.
USA Radio News with Audrey Strong.
The victory at Indiana was amazing because it was far greater than anybody thought.
Donald Trump saying he was surprised when Ted Cruz dropped out of the race last night. Trump says he was caught off guard by the move, which was a tough decision for the Texas senator. Trump says he wants to unify the Republican Party, and he's hitting the home stretch. Senior correspondent Jason Wirt reports.
After a win in Indiana, Donald Trump spoke to supporters about a demographic many didn't see supporting Trump with Ted Cruz in the race.
Tonight I see that I won with the evangelicals. The evangelical vote was for Trump. There's no greater honor, just no greater honor. And we're going to work together for many, many years. We're going to make it so good.
Trump called his defeated primary foe a hard competitor. I'm Jason Wirt.
This is USA Radio News.
Any Tom, Dick, or Harry can tell you that GEICO could save you money on car insurance. But since money talks, why not go straight to the source?
Hey, Harry's Money here. And the day Harry went to GEICO.com and switched his car insurance was the day I got to hang around. Finally, boys bonding, bada bing, bada boom. No wonder GEICO has 97% customer satisfaction. Personally, I give him 100, but that's just my 2 cents. That was funny.
GEICO. 15 minutes could save you 15% or more on car insurance.
Have you been to conservativetribune.com? Now, this is one of the most visited news sites in the entire world, and the reason is simple. Conservativetribune.com delivers edgy and bold commentary of the news. They're unapologetically pro-America, unabashedly conservative.